congregation, I think it was September, about the last week or somewhere there, when they asked me to do a lesson on the subject under consideration. The lesson, if you choose to give a title to it, we may title the lesson, "We Are," and by that "we," I'm referring to the Christians, "We Are Work in Progress." Every true child of God is a work in progress. And the lesson will bring that out clearly. Satan does not take vacation. He does not take leave or rest. Satan is constantly being active to defeat us. He knows better than we do that we have only so much time on this earth. For God, the time we have was meant to be used in preparation for eternity. That is what God wants. For Satan, he doesn't want us to pay much attention to getting prepared and getting ready. So he does everything to get as many company to spend eternity in the eternal hell with him. While I've asked Brother Powell to bring a lesson on that subject, over the next 2-3 months I'll be bringing about a 2-4 series lesson on that subject. We hardly hear about hell anymore. So sometimes over the next 2-3 months, there will be 2, 3, or 4 lessons on the subject. Hell stands for the holiness of God, the justice of God. So Satan is looking for company to go there with him. He knows that he's going there. Satan is beyond redemption. He has reached that point. You and I, we are not beyond redemption. Let us make sure that we do not get beyond redemption. Brother Mitchell, can any human being be beyond redemption? The Bible tells me that some Christian has drifted so far, help me here, that it is impossible to renew them again unto righteousness. That's terrible. May the Almighty God help that nobody in this audience reach that stage. Impossible to renew them again unto righteousness. Satan's most effective and successful strategy in defeating Christian children of God is in making us feel or think that our failures are fatal. That is, Satan wants us to misread and misinterpret our failure. Explain more, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. There are some people, they're easy to give up. Not just in Christianity. They try something once and it didn't work out. They swear that they're not going to try again. There are a lot of people are like that. You know, I just mentioned by accident, not by accident, in passing a while ago, where Christians think that their failures are fatal. That means when they fail, that failure means finality. Of course, many of you will remember that I have a lesson by that name. Title, If Failures Were Fatal. But failures are not fatal. In that lesson, in the introduction, I use that great president of the United States. No, I'm not talking the one now. So I don't want you to misunderstand me. Yes, Abraham Lincoln. Where so many things he undertook initially and failed, that most men, women, having experienced so many failures, would give up and not try anything again. But not Abraham Lincoln. He kept trying until he became not only the president of the United States, but one of the greatest presidents. Satan wants us to misread and misinterpret our failure as signs and indication that you can never succeed spiritually. That's what Satan wants. That when you fail, Satan wants you to see in that you must give up. Why worry, try when you can't succeed? Look how you fail. You set your mind how you will be this type of Christian and this type of Christian. And look how you have failed. Throw in the towel. This is probably Satan's most effective weapon against us. You must ever remember that a true child of God, man or woman, is a person who acknowledges that spiritually he is sick, he is not well. Start that again, Brother Mitchell. Yes, a Christian, man or woman, is a person who acknowledges that spiritually, in the sight of God, he or she is not well. Are we there? He's sick, not healthy spiritually, not safe, in grave danger, in need of divine help, and is seeking treatment and help. That's a Christian. It's a person who is seeking treatment and help. When we, I mean any of us, I think, I don't know if Brother Michael told you, within our midst today, there is a young lady who has made up her mind to give her life to Christ. she indicates that she wants to be baptized today, and she's here. May I? When we become Christian, we registered for admission and treatment in Jesus Christ's surgery or hospital. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. When any man or woman becomes a child of God, when that decision is made and carried out, it means we have not only registered, we have submitted ourselves for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to start applying treatment to our soul. I have some news for you, good news for many. But for others, it might be skeptical. That treatment by Jesus Christ is being done at one place only. Oh, and that is His hospital, His church. Jesus Christ is not working outside of His body, the church, for man's salvation. In fact, the church was founded for that very purpose, that the Almighty God can use the gospel and the church. With the gospel and the church, this is why the church is said to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Because it is that truth that Jesus Christ is using to prepare men and women for eternity. But it is being done in the church. That is Jesus Christ's surgery or hospital. If you should check any doctor, there are certain things, speak to Sister B, there are certain things they can do right here. But there are certain other things, it has to be done at the right place. They have to have the oxygen set up and all of that. Huh? Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ doesn't carry out our salvation process outside of the church. If you are here as a visitor, remember, we glad when you come to us and say, you know, you said something in your sermon, I would like to understand more about it, or I don't agree with you. When you don't agree with us, we don't quarrel with you. We want to hear more of what you have to say. That's right. So I make the statement again that Jesus Christ, wait, He has one hospital. Now, there are branches of this hospital all over the place. But He has one hospital, and that's where He carries out the work of man's salvation. So treatment. When we became Christian, we are registering and submitting ourselves for treatment. If you didn't understand that before, then understand it now. Because that's what the Apostle chapter 2 and verse 47 is on that very point. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 is on that very point. Let us hear Acts of the Apostle chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God.
Praising God. And having favor with all the people.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
You see, the such as should be saved? It literally means those who are being saved. Now, check this being, which means our salvation is ongoing. It is progressive. Wait. Further in the lesson, I'm going to show that sanctification is both instantaneous and it is also ongoing. Notice the passage you have just read. And the Lord added to
the church.
We could just as well. He admitted to his hospital. That's right. Those who is going to treat. But the treatment is not for us to get better physically. The treatment has to do with our spiritual sickness. Because that is the deadly sickness. The Lord added to the church daily those who were in the process of being saved. Ephesians chapter 5, 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Let us hear it quick.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it.
That he might sanctify. And cleanse it. That's the church. That's the hospital. Wait. That's the hospital. That he might sanctify. Wait. So Brother Mitchell, in cleanse the hospital. Yes, you see, Jesus' hospital is unique. Because it is made up of all those who are admitted for treatment. Wait. Jesus' hospital is not a concrete building.
Amen.
Jesus' hospital is the congregated people who have been called out of the world to serve God.
Amen.
That he might cleanse it
with the washing of water by the word.
So the cleansing is going on in the church and nowhere else. Hebrews 10:10.
By the which will we are sanctified through the
offering. Wait, the passage mentioned two wills. It mentioned one, I think, in verse 9. I didn't want to read that, but I just want to give members and visitors a context here. Let me hear it. I don't know if it's verse 8 or 9.
Then said he, Lo, I will come to do thy will.
I come to do thy will, O Lord.
He taketh away the first.
Brother Webb, you see, he has a first will and he has a second will. Now get this, we are not under the first will.
That's right.
That's why he take it away.
That's right.
Read now, brother.
He taketh away the first.
That is the first will.
That he may establish the second.
You cannot have both of them. So he had to take away the first. Mr. Mitchell, what is he talking about? He takes away the Old Testament system.
Yeah.
That he may establish the gospel system.
Yeah. By the which will.
That is by the which will.
We are sanctified through the offering.
Notice. By the which will, notice, we are sanctified. But notice this. Are sanctified. That means we are being sanctified. That's the idea here. No, that's the meaning. The sanctify is not just a done deal. The sanctification is going on. In a little while, I'll be begging you to stay in Jesus' assistance. Wait. You hear about people who discharge themselves sometimes? Yeah. Huh? And sometimes they have to rush them in emergency back. They got out of the hospital without the doctor's permission. And dropped on a rope. Yeah, if you take them up and take them back. I beg you, stay in Jesus' hospital. Don't leave until he discharges you. May I have some word with you? He will not discharge you from his hospital in this life. Because he wants for you to get the full treatment. Now we are there. Our salvation is ongoing. The church of Christ is in fact like an hospital. In fact, may I? In Luke chapter 18, we have two sick people. In Luke chapter 18, we have two people who were spiritually sick. Here is the tragedy. First, the encouraging thing. One of these persons knew or acknowledged that he was sick. And he went seeking help. The other one felt he was as healthy as a young bull. In fact, let us hear a little about it, no? Luke 18, verse 9 following. Quick.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are.
Wait. God, I am a personification of spiritual health. He's impressing the doctor. That's right. Him just go to have a little friendly talk with the doctor. He doesn't need the doctor help. Doc, look at me. That's right. Read on, brother.
I am not as other men are.
That's right. Them other people, they are sick. Read on.
Extortioners.
Yeah, look at the disease that they have. They are extortioners.
Unjust.
They are unjust.
Adulterers.
They are adulterers.
Or even as this publican.
But look at all this guy up there. So, he is as sick as they get. Read.
I fast twice in the week.
Look on the health. The health practice that I do. Oh Lord, I fast every week.
I give tithes of all that I possess.
I give tithes of all that you bless me with.
And the publican.
Wait. Now. May I? You see, this man that just was trying to impress God with how healthy he was spiritually. He was sick nigh unto death spiritually. We must make sure that we learn from his mistake. Don't ever try to impress God with your holiness and your righteousness. Now here now is this man. Both people were sick. The plus for one of them is that one recognized that he was listening to him.
And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven.
Remember, that is indicative of humility. That's right. Whenever you read, always remember that. It indicates that he doesn't even want to look up to God, feel ashamed of himself, of his spiritual disease. Read.
But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
You get it? That I am a diseased person. Do what you can for me. Are we all there? That's the attitude with which even for us the Christian, well, especially the Christian, must come together. Are we all there? Two sick people, one did not recognize he was sick. May I? In becoming Christian, you came in the church, that is Jesus' hospital, you came in for admission and treatment. Now, that treatment is both instantaneous and progressive. A lot of times you rush a person who was in an accident to the hospital, and you see the doctor and the other health person hurry up and give the injection, and this, that injection really probably is to stop the hemorrhaging, the bleeding, and all of that. But then the doctor admits you for treatment, because that they stop the bleeding and other vital biological thing that might be going on, that they stop the emergency thing, doesn't mean you are well yet. When a man or woman believes and obeys Christ through the gospel, the action of obedience brings him or her salvation at least in three ways. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, you lost me there. Well, let me repeat it now. When a man or a woman obeys Jesus Christ through the gospel, that action of obedience brings that man or woman salvation in at least three ways. It brings the person in at least three ways. It brings that man or woman salvation in sanctification. That's one. Now, sanctification is both instantaneous and progressive. Now, one, it brings positional sanctification. That is, Brother Mitchell, what the word sanctification mean? Word literally mean to be set apart. You are sanctified. You are set apart. But may I? There is positional sanctification, and there is progressive sanctification. Let us look at them. Let us look from what the Bible says. Positional sanctification happens instantly at faith, repentance, and baptism. That is, notice, I use the word positional to describe it, because that's what it is. Your position as a sinner changed the very moment you complete your baptism. Wait. The very moment a man, once that man or woman is properly taught the basic gospel truth. You don't have to know all of the gospel, but you have to be taught the basic gospel truth. Christian, I beg Christian, members of the body of Christ, to learn the basic. That, you know, hear, believe, repent, baptize, and have one of the loose leaves in your Bible. Jot them down on the passages where that backs up those are found. So that you can at least tell a man or a woman, these are the steps that you must take to become a Christian. When that man or woman hear the gospel, the basic truth, and repent and confess faith and get baptized, that person position, use another word, no, Brother Mitchell, that person's status, use another word, no, Brother Mitchell, that person's relationship changed from being sinner to saved the very moment you are baptized. That's why it is termed positional, your position. You are no more at the same place. My brother, let me look if he's in the audience. No, he's probably in worship now. He's a member of Brother Powell. So he did some addition over his garage. Just over the past year or 18 months, you know, very nice. Then he have one of these big barbecue thing there, you know, you can stay there. It's just nice. You are inside and you're outside. So him called there moving up. You see, that's about position. When you and I, when a man repent after believing and confess faith and is baptized, you move up. That's right. You are no more a sinner. You are a saint. Now remember, to get you where you really need to be, Jesus Christ will be working on you. That's why he moves you up. He puts you in his body, the church. You are sanctified. You are set apart. That positional sanctification. When you say that, Brother Mitchell, instantaneously. Are we all there? When we get baptized, our state is changed. Our relationship changed from being outside of Christ. Help me here, to being weird inside. That's why it is position. Your position changed. You are no more outside. Wait. If you are here today, if you are not a Christian, which means you may say, but Mr. Mitchell, I'm a member of a church. Yes, you might be a member of a dozen church, but if you were not properly taught, in the sight of God, you are still a sinner. Your position has not been changed. But when you are properly taught and you obey, your position change, your relationship change from being a sinner to being a saint. We are still dealing with sanctification. And we are still dealing with positional sanctification. Not being outside of Christ. Look at the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
The unrighteous man or woman shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Read on.
Be not deceived.
Be not deceived. In other words, don't fool yourself. And he's not going to leave us in darkness. You notice he's about to mention sin which if practiced engage in, then these cut us off. Because what it indicates is that you are digesting, if I may use the term, things that would still contaminate you. Let us hear it.
Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
These are spiritual sickness, sin. Are we out here? Read on.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of
all
God.
All these are represent spiritual sickness. Are we out here? Read on. What verse are you?
Verse 11.
Read verse 11.
And such were some of you.
Such were some of you. Notice the past tense, were. Which means they are not to be engaged in anymore. Read.
But ye are washed.
You are washed.
But ye are sanctified.
Wait. Sanctified there means you are being sanctified. Read.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Are we all here? You are sanctified. You are being sanctified. Wait. Read that again, brother.
And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified.
In fact, this is both progressive and instantaneous. The tense of the verb means that the thing was done, but it is ongoing still. You are washed,
but ye are sanctified.
You are sanctified, which means it's a done deal that is still being done. What a great God. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yeah? This again is stating the instantaneous nature of part of our sanctification. If any man be in Christ, you are a new creature. But may I drop something here? Our newness, putting on the Christ-like nature, is ongoing. Don't ever make the mistake that you have been a Christian for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, and the total Christ-like nature is in place. No. If you live to see 100, you will still be making progress toward the Christ-like nature. If you have been a Christian for 200 years, remember Paul? When you take a man like Paul, but he was able to say, I press Help me here. Towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Which means Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. I am pressing towards, which means Jesus Christ is still working on me. That was instantaneous or positional. Progressive or ongoing sanctification. It continues until we are called home to eternity. Did you hear that? Huh? The passage we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2:47, that the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. It's talk about progressive, ongoing sanctification. The passage of Ephesians chapter 5:25-29, which talk about that he's cleansing the church. He's getting rid of the wrinkles. All that is ongoing. Passage that we read, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, that we are sanctified by the new will, which means we are being sanctified. That is ongoing, that is progressive. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
You notice the cleanseth, present tense in Greek, it's really a continuous action. The blood of Jesus Christ continue to cleanse. That is, continue to get rid of the disease. Spiritually. Sanctification is ongoing. Are we all here? It's God or Christ done deal that is still being done. Yeah. The longer we stay with Jesus Christ is the more he addresses and deal with our ignorance. Huh? You find that you are more enlightened the longer you stay with him. Yeah. The longer you stay with Jesus Christ is the more you give him a chance to deal with the carnal nature. Huh? The devilish nature, the worldly nature. Yes, that is progressive. The longer you stay with Jesus Christ, it's the more he addresses and deal with and cure your wrong attitude and outlook. Many of us will look on so many things wrongly. We have a wrong attitude, a wrong disposition, wrong sense of value. Jesus Christ is working on those if we give him the chance. Stay with him. And as I've said, the Christ-like nature, that doesn't come overnight because we are work in progress. Are we all there? Notice Titus chapter 3, verse 3-5. Make it quick. We are finishing, brother.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
Read.
But after that, the kindness and love of God, or Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness.
Watch here now.
Which we have done.
May I? Don't ever underestimate the importance of being engaged in God's business. Doing good works, righteous work and whatever. But be careful that you do not put value on that that God doesn't put on it. So here we tell you, not
by works of righteousness
that we have done.
But
wait, it's the righteous things we do, you know. The Holy Spirit in Paul is saying, be careful that you do not misinterpret those good works you do. Read on.
But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
The what?
Renewing of the Holy Ghost.
The what?
Renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Brother Jonathan, you notice, not renewed, but the
renewing,
the ongoing work of the Holy Ghost in getting rid of the carnal man or woman and implanting in us the Christ-like nature. It is ongoing if you give Jesus Christ the chance. Remember, that work of the Holy Ghost is done only in the body of Christ. Christ has spit on the church, and we are there. Let me just rush and just mention this. Not only sanctification, I'm just going to mention it, but justify. Justification. Did I say that when we become children of God, we gain salvation in at least three ways? You know, I should have really mentioned justification first, but through sanctification, there was much more to say on it. I will just point out, justify, remember the word justification and the word righteousness are inseparable. The same Greek word. Remember that. The same Greek word for justification is the same word that is translated righteousness. What is the point? When we become Christian instantaneously, may I? The guilt and the penalty of sin is addressed, and the impartation of righteousness instantaneously. That is, once you repent, get baptized with a view to serving God, you are not considered by God to be guilty of sin anymore. Any sin you are guilty of as of then would be sin that you commit afterward. That is dealt with right then. But not only the guilt, the penalty of sin, the danger that you would face for all your past sin. How old are you? 31? Well, 31 years are at least 20 years or 18 years of sin that would put you in danger. God dealt with that. You're no more in danger for the punishment or the penalty of sin once you repent and get baptized. That is instant. That is what the Bible calls justification. Wait! God gives you righteousness once you get baptized. You are not righteous. But because you obey, He gives you righteousness and look on you as being righteous. Look at Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18. Quick, brother. The brother is looking for his indication, son.
But God be thanked.
But God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
You were the slave of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin.
When? Oh Lord. You have obeyed that form of doctrine. Watch, you know what comes after that.
Then made.
I am capitalizing then because it is key. Being then made free from sin. Then when you obeyed from the heart, at that instant, the Almighty God remove your sin and give you righteousness. That's why I can talk about you are justified. Because God, through Jesus Christ, gives you righteousness. Instantly. Being then made free from sin. Let me just make a few statements right here and just wrap up. Remember, in starting, I pointed out Satan wants to use your failure to discourage you. God wants you to look to Him for help and strength when you fail. Don't backslide. Don't leave the church, which is Christ's hospital. Are we all there? All that are being done by Jesus Christ for you to form in you the Christ-like character, it is going to be done nowhere else but in the church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Give Jesus Christ a chance to finish His work. Stay with Him. And look here, remember, He doesn't want the in and out patient. You run out of the hospital and then when you see sickness that come down on you, you run back in the hospital. No, sir. Christ cannot finish His work like that. Once you register as a patient, be faithful and committed to staying there. Just one more passage, please, because and members of the body of Christ, get acquainted with this passage. I find it a wonderful passage found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 19.
My little children,
Paul said to the church of Christ at God,
of whom I travail in birth again.
Wait. Of whom I travail
in birth again until Christ be formed in you.
Oh, I wish that I brought this passage up earlier, because I would like to have spent some time with it. What a great passage. Paul is likening the progressive sanctification and God's progressive work to birth, giving birth to a child. And he placed himself in the position of the mother, because he's the one teaching them, guiding them to be more Christ-like. Listen to the passage again. Quick, brother.
My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you.
You get the picture? Until Jesus Christ be formed in you. What Paul is saying, I'm going to stay with you, continue to work with you, until the Christ-like personality be formed in you. But Brother Mitchell, they are Christian. I thought from them get baptized, the Christ-like personality is forming them. Yes and no. To some extent, yes, but it was also ongoing until Jesus Christ be formed. That is, until you be the type of Christian that you are to be. And what Paul is indicating here, if I live for 100 years, I'll be working toward that goal, so that day by day you will become more Christ-like in the many areas that we need to be Christ-like. We are, in fact, work in progress. If you're here today, remember too that Jesus Christ does not have any outpatient. Yes, I am discharged from the hospital, but I have to drop by ever so often for treatment. No, sir. No outpatient. Stay in the hospital. Stay in the church. If you're here today, you can let Jesus Christ start that work. If you're not a child of His, if you're here today and you have backslidden, grown unfaithful, one of the deception of the lukewarmness. You don't know if a Christian is here or if they are not here. Is that sometimes it gives us a false sense of spiritual security. Are we all there? Because if somebody say to you, you are a backslider, you're going to resort to, no, I come church. But what do you mean? Once in a while, and your conscience doesn't worry you that some of your time, etc., belong to God? You come church only when it's convenient to you? Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. So you see, the person who is starter on and off permits Satan to give him or her a false sense of security that is not there. What better time to come? Well, to see yourself and to come and recommit your life. There's no better time than now. You know why? Jesus Christ said, today is the day of salvation. We are going to stand. If you are not a Christian, yes, you might be a member of a church, but you have never become a Christian by being taught the basic fundamental of the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sin, confess faith in Christ, and getting baptized, you can do that today as we stand.